Does the Bible tell us how to manage our money and be good stewards of our money?
Coming to you from the radio studios of Souls Harbor Covenant Church in Miami, Florida, USA, this is Walking in Power, a dynamic life application Bible study with Bernd Zumpano, anointed author and teacher of authentic Christian doctrine. Bernd Zumpano's spirit-filled teachings on practical Christianity have touched and transformed the lives of many people who have opened their hearts to God's Holy Spirit as a result of Bernd's instructional teaching. Bernd shows us how Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and how He can change your life and circumstances. We invite you now to listen in with family and friends as Bernd discusses Christian issues and answers that will teach you to walk in the power and the knowledge of God through the Holy Spirit. And now, here's Bernd.
Thank you, Glenn. Before we get started, let's pray. Father, on behalf of all of the people of Souls Harbor Church and all Christians worldwide, I come together in agreement, firstly speaking our voice of thanks, praise, glory, honor, exaltation, and majesty to your holy name, to all of the men of the earth, and to the ends of the world. Anoint the people worldwide with eyes to see and ears to hear. We agree that all demonic scales are broken off of their spiritual eyes and ears, and that they will see and hear with the eyes and ears of your Holy Spirit. By the Spirit of power and might of your Holy Spirit, we call a clear, wide, open, unobstructed path cut to the heart, mind, soul, and spirit of every person listening, and to every man upon this earth, and agree that you will shine your light and truth upon them and into them. We agree for and call in, by faith, the greatest spiritual end-time harvest that the world has ever seen. Also in agreement, we bind Satan, the prince of the power of the air, the princes of the north, south, east, and west, all principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness, wicked spirits in high places, all territorial spirits everywhere, all ruler spirits over all communities and peoples worldwide, all spirits above, around, and below them, all spirits of Antichrist, lies, deception, religion, witchcraft, python, unbelief, doubt, divination, all spirits of harm or immorality of any kind, all spirits of opposition, hindrance, interference, and obstruction, destruction, murder, theft, the Jezebel spirit, the Ahab spirit, the Absalom spirit, all spirits of slander, scandal, rumor, libel, defamation, maligning, derision, opinionated spirits, rumor and gossip accusations, and false accusations, along with all of their physical and psychic attacks, assignments, and operations. We loose all the peoples everywhere from such activities, assignments, and attacks and operations, and call their strongholds down and destroyed, canceled, made null and void, cursed and destroyed at their roots, never more manifested or come to pass, rendered of no effect, judged, spoiled, and never seated, and decree any and all retaliation, revenge, or getting even permanently, immediately, completely, and continually forbidden, all in the mighty name of Christ Jesus. And in the authority of His name, Father, this is our faith confession, and we believe that we receive, and the saints said in agreement, Amen.
Greetings to you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, and friends of our listening audience. Welcome to our worldwide Bible study, where we're going to be talking today about what the Bible says about money and the stewardship of money. One would think that that's an unusual subject, particularly in a day and age where there is a common Christian belief that God admires poverty or lack, and that He uses that to help us spiritually in our spiritual growth. But is that really the Word of God? Is that really what the Bible says? Let's look at it today. The first thing we needed to understand is that the Lord's position is that all on the earth belongs to Him. All the gold, all the silver, all the cattle on a thousand hills, He says. And so the first idea of money management is that we are stewards of the Lord's money, and that the money that He gives us is for not only our support and our purposes, but to glorify Him. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9, we read, "Honor the Lord with your substance, and with the first fruits of all your increase. Now that's called the tithe. In Malachi chapter 3, the Lord said that we can rob him in tithes and offerings. In Malachi 3:10 in particular, we read, "Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in your house. And prove me now herewith, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it." The tithe is the first 10% of our gross income. As a matter of fact, the Lord continues, "But you rob me in tithes and offerings," in that same chapter. Now, watch this. You can only rob someone of something that is their property, of their ownership. God is saying, when he says, "You rob me of the tenth," which means the tithe, 10% of our gross income, on a monthly basis or an annual basis, what God is saying there is that the first 10% of our first fruits that we produce, that we earn, are his property. It is not ours to hold on to. Now, listen, folks. There is a lot of bad teaching in the church at large about tithing. And there are many people who are teaching that tithing is Old Testament and that it is not New Testament, and therefore you do not need to tithe. Not only that, but they continue and they say that tithing was under the law, being Old Testament, and that now we are under grace, and therefore that is over. Now, let's stop a moment and let's look at what that does. Firstly, if you believe that kind of a thing, it deprives you of your blessing. Remember what Malachi 3:10 said? Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse. The storehouse is where you are getting spiritually fed. That's where you bring your tithe, your tenth or 10%. And notice what it says, that there may be meat in your house, and prove me now herewith, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Do you want to lose your blessing and come under a financial curse? Because in Malachi 3, God goes on and he says, you are cursed with a curse because you're robbing him. Now, that curse is a financial curse, and it brings lack. Now, let's get some clarification about the tithe. To say that the tithe was under Old Testament law is a lie, or at the least an untruth. A lie is intentional, and untruth is not. And why do I say that? Because if you read in Genesis 14, the story of Melchizedek, the Holy Spirit on the earth, coming to Abraham with bread and wine in his hands, prefiguring a new and better covenant, and having given Abraham the victory over the battle of the five kings, you will see that Abraham tithed to Melchizedek, who is the Holy Spirit, King of Jerusalem, it says, King of Salem. He tithed to him in gratitude and thanksgiving, the tenth of all the spoils of the battle that he got victory in. Now, what was he doing? He was worshiping Melchizedek. Melchizedek, in New Testament scripture, in Hebrews 3 and 5, was called King of Righteousness, Ancient of Days, without genealogy, without father or mother. That is not any human person. And the title King of Righteousness is a title which can only be reserved for divinity. And the only divine person that has been on the earth from the beginning of the creation has been the Holy Spirit. And notice here in Genesis 14, the purpose for which Abraham gave the tithe or the tenth of all the spoils to Melchizedek, to honor him and to worship him for the blessings and victory that he was giving him in his life. This is the first time the tithe is mentioned in Scripture. The first thing we must understand is that it occurred before the law was given. So tithing is not just under the law. Secondly, the purpose of tithing is worship. That's established in Genesis 14. And when you say, I don't have to tithe, I don't have to give my 10th%, you lose your blessing and you stop worshiping God. There are other ways to worship God, yes, but keep in mind what God said in Malachi 3. We rob him in tithes and offerings, meaning that that first 10% is owned by him. It is his ownership. He establishes what is right and wrong, not us. And so we are commanded in Malachi 3:10, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse. That is a command, and it is a command from God himself, the commander-in-chief. It is a declarative sentence. A declarative sentence is a command. So the purpose of tithing is established. Some people call that the first mention principle of interpreting the word of God. That sounds a little theological to me, but it does make sense in this instance. And that first mention establishes the purpose of the tithe, worship, honoring God. And he pours out a blessing that you shall not have room enough to receive it. So we have to get our doctrine straight. Tithing is not under the law. It preceded the law. And the purpose of tithing was not just to give God 10% of your income. And some people say that this is a money-making technique for churches and pastors to become wealthy. No, it costs money to spread the gospel. And this is one of the ways that God established that the church could operate on the earth. It goes to the storehouse, not to the person's pockets. Most pastors, evangelists, teachers, prophets, or apostles who are employed in church ministry receive their income through salaries. So the first thing we have to understand is if you have lack, you need to be tithing. The second thing is that you need to understand that God has principles that govern your finances. You must be in line with God's word. Listen to Proverbs chapter 24, verses 30 to 34, and what it says. I went by the field of the slothful, that's the lazy, and by the vineyard of a man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, nettles, had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come as one that travels, and your want as an armed man. Here God warns that if you do not have understanding of the Word of God, if you are a slothful, lazy person, if you do not want to work, if you do not want to receive instruction in every area of your life through the Holy Scriptures, including finances and the management of money, God says poverty will come upon you. In other words, the next point is doing things God's way. God is not against you or me having money, contrary to popular belief. It is not money that is the issue. It is the love of money. Proverbs 10, verse 22 tells us, the blessing of the Lord, it makes rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. However, you must guard your heart against greed. Proverbs 28, 22 says, he that hastens to be rich has an evil eye, and considers not that poverty shall come upon him. The key to having adequate finances, adequate provision, is seek first the kingdom of God. When you put God first in your life, God will be your provider. He will open doors of opportunity to you. He will open doors to increase your income and prosper your finances. In Matthew 6:33, we read, but seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. In other words, if you develop a heart for God and seek first the things of God, learn the word of God so that you can walk in his righteousness, ask Christ into your heart and ask him to live his life in you and through you, surrendering all of your problems and sins to him. That is what seeking the kingdom of God is. Immersing yourself in the word of God and learning the word of God, asking the Holy Spirit to teach you, God is obligated to perform his word for you, and he promises all these things shall be added unto you. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 12, God said to the prophet, you have done well, Jeremiah. I am watching over my word to perform it. God will perform his word for you. Put God first in your life, Matthew 6:33 says, and seek his righteousness, and prosperity and abundance will be added unto you, as well as many other blessings. You see, it is God's will for you to have provision. In 1 Timothy 5:8, God warns about laziness and slothfulness that leads to poverty. And he says, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. God takes a very dim view of your or my laziness or slothfulness. As a matter of fact, he tells us in Proverbs 10:4, he becomes poor that deals with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. God will take care of your finances as you seek him and his righteousness. In Matthew chapter 6, 19 to 21, In Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 21, we read, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust do corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. We're to guard our hearts and not lust for money. Money is a blessing. Money is a tool, and God will provide when we put him first in our lives. Now let me ask you a question. Do you have Jesus Christ as your Lord, your Savior, your provider? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man goes to the Father but by me. Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. That's the door of the heart. He who hears my voice, that's the tugger desire to know him, and opens the door and invites me in, I will come into him and fellowship with him and he with me. Are you ready? All it takes is being willing to surrender your sin to the Lord Christ Jesus and asking him into your heart. Shall we do that right now? I invite you to pray this prayer aloud now, being willing to turn from your sin. The Lord Christ Jesus will do all of the rest. No such thing as cleaning yourself up and going to God. It doesn't work. We're too imperfect for that. No, God has to clean us up, and he will do so for the asking. Pray this prayer aloud now, won't you? Being willing to turn from your sin.
Say, Lord Jesus Christ, I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. I repent of my sins, all of them. I turn from them by my own free will. I renounce them. I ask your forgiveness. I invite you into my heart now to be Lord and Savior. That is, to lead me through life and save me. I confess you before men as the resurrected Christ. Come into me now, Lord Jesus Christ. I receive you by trusting faith, and faith alone. Amen.
Now, if you prayed that prayer, get yourself into a Bible-believing, Spirit-filled, non-denominational church. Get water baptized by immersion, Holy Spirit baptized by those who have the baptism in the Holy Spirit, which will give you the power to walk the faith walk. Get into Christian community where they will teach you the Word of God. And I promise you, my friend, you will never again be the same, because the evidence that Jesus Christ is real is the proof of changed lives by the millions worldwide. God bless you, and God willing, talk to you next week.
This program was brought to you by the volunteers of the International Radio Ministry of Souls Harbor Covenant Church, Miami, Florida, USA. We desire that this broadcast become a spiritual nourishment and blessing to you. There's a lot of Christian entertainment and testimony activity on TV and radio worldwide, but there's a greater need for instruction in the Word and the ways of God. Our desire is to help fill that need. If this program has been a blessing to you and others, you may wish to become a contributor to this ministry as you feel led by the Holy Spirit. Your contribution in the form of an international money order or personal check stateside would be greatly appreciated to carry on God's work and to keep us on the air. If you can't afford to support us financially, please be our covenant partner through your prayer support. Pray that our mission will be carried out according to God's will as we carry out His command that our voice go into all the earth and our words to the end of the world. We pray that this program is a blessing to you and that you'll tell others about us. Burns' classic and timeless Bible teachings given over many years past are highly anointed and are now available on cassette tapes along with his books and other ministry materials that teach the believer to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. We want to hear from you. Write us or send us a postcard with a clear return address requesting our catalog or making your comments. Our address is Walking in Power, P.O. Box 161322, Miami, Florida, USA 33176. Or for telephone orders using your credit card, call toll-free 1-888-273-WORD. That's 1-888-273-9673. Until next week, we remind you that the Bible tells us that there is no salvation apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, and that there is no other name under heaven by which we can be saved from our sins. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and as a living person, willing and able to get involved in your life, shouldn't you? Invite Him into your heart today to be Lord and Savior, and receive Him by a trusting faith alone. If you want to know more about the necessity of being saved, write us. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We hope you'll tune in next week at this same time as we bring you more of the Holy Spirit's timely Bible teachings through Bern Zumpano. Until then, God bless you and keep you in His love. Walking in Power is a production of United Ministries International.